So follow me along in your Bibles there, in your device. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 15 through 23. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have they cast out devils? And in thy name done wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I ask for a blessing on the word today, and not myself, but the word.
Thanks be to God.
Praise be to God. I got nervous here a few days ago. You all know my job here. The problem is, I meet somebody and then I introduce myself, and then most of them that are actually Christians, they're gonna. I reach for my badge. It's not there. They're gonna ask me what denomination I am. This is always an awkward topic for me. I'm not ashamed of being a Methodist, that's not it. But the Methodist Church, they got some bad press. When you got thousands and thousands and hundreds in church leaving the denomination because they're trying to make a gay pastor, point blank, that's not a path I'm following. And I promised Alice I would give them 2 years. They got 2 years because that's when they vote on it again. If they vote in that direction, it's a direction I cannot follow. It's just not going to happen. I don't care what you think. Show me the Bible where it says it's okay to have a gay pastor and we'll talk, but I don't see that. So I say all that, I go visit a friend of mine who's also a Vietnam veteran. He's introducing me to one of his family members. He introduced me as chaplain, and he also says that Michael is a Methodist. So just as soon as he says that, God got a little standoffish with me. He gets a little, whoa. Now, I shake my hand, put my hand out, and I introduce myself, and I'm like, I'm polite. And the guy's like, kind of standoff. As soon as he hears the word Methodist. And I understand. If my Baptist brother was here, he'd say the same thing. The Baptists are pushing critical race theory. It means you're white, you should feel guilty about everything. And they're pushing their nonsense as well. So I'm not just making fun of the Methodists. We all got our issues. But my friend, he actually stepped up and said, Chaplain Michael knows what he's doing. You understand? He's read the Bible. He's very convicted, and he knows what he's doing. He's not one of those, lack of a better word, liberal pastors that are just trying to get your money or just trying to do this. He's not that guy. So, he kind of made the family member feel a little better. But I have to say, I have this conversation almost every single time I say that I'm a Methodist. And I have to tell them, I'm a Bible-believing Methodist, Bible-believing Christian, who just happens to be in the Methodist system right now. That's it. If you're following a denomination, you're going to be really confused when you get to heaven when they don't have a Methodist section. It's just not going to happen. So, my brother had my back, and he understand. But I think about this for a second. When you ever got to stand before someone and kind of prove yourself, and the examples that I use is when you meet your spouse's parents for the first time. That's a little... You're meeting your in-laws. You're trying to make a good impression, especially if you think you're going to marry somebody. You're meeting the in-laws. Then I think of a job resume. Your paper looks great. Your resume looks impressive. And like, this is awesome. But they bring you in because they want to see you. They want to look at you and see all this. So they want to know if you're real or you're fake. So I ask you here, and it's a rhetorical question, are you a real Christian? I see real Christians here. So Jesus is trying to show us in this passage how to spot a true prophet or a false prophet. And the word prophet has two meanings. Actually, it's more than that, but we'll focus on the two here. Somebody who's able to predict things that have not happened by using God's power. And a prophet also, in the more simpler terms, a teacher of the Word of God. A teacher of the Word of God. God knows that the position of prophet or preacher or teacher is very powerful. And Jesus knows that people are going to use this title for their own personal benefit. But Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. So let's look at the text here. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Think about that for a second. What does a wolf do? False prophets are going to come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. They come to you in wearing the clothing of peace and comfort. But what a wolf does, it hunts to sustain its own existence. It's constantly looking for something to kill, to eat, to sustain its own existence. That's a wolf. That's what Jesus is talking about here. If we rewind to Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. To put this in hillbilly language so I can understand it, they're making up their own prophecies for their own benefit. That's what they're doing. They're pulling it out of their own head, not from God, not from the scripture. So we see ever since the beginning of time, basically, we've been fighting false prophets. Those ravenous wolves that are just trying to devour everything for their own pleasure. Verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? There's a takeaway from this verse that truth matters. Not only truth matters, but where you get your truth from matters. We live in a day and age where you can get anything at your fingertips. I seen a preacher, he said this and it makes me chuckle. You can pull your phone out, I'm not going to say it because it'll turn itself on, and say, hey, what is 2 plus 2? And it'll give you an answer. What is the square root of 36? It's going to give you the answer just by asking your phone. My kids haven't seemed to figure that out yet because they still have trouble with math, and I don't get that. Like, if I had the technology they had, I would be much more than a C and D student when I was in high school. But truth matters. What podcasts you listen to matters. What social media sites that you look at for your information matters. What news agency you look at matters. What influencer you decide to follow matters. The talk show that you watch matters. The radio station you listen to. Where you get your knowledge matters. Some people get their truth, they search for truth in a pig pen. Everything that comes out of the pig pen, except for the pig, is not good. The pigs wallow in the mess, they spew the mess, they eat the mess, and they're going to that pig pen to get their information. A good friend of mine who works for a three-digit agency, retired, if that makes any sense. You can fill in the three-digit agency yourself. And he says this, they're always listening. Think about how many devices you have right now that has the internet for no reason. They're always listening. And then number two, which fits this, don't believe nothing you see on the news. Think about that. He brought that up to us right when this Russian invasion started. Don't believe anything you read on the news. Very interesting. That's another time frame. Verse 17, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. Jesus is saying that good teaching produces good fruit. Bad teaching produces bad fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. The key here is consistency. When you're looking for the truth, look for consistency. 19, every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. God guarantees correction. God's going to handle the bad fruit. God's going to handle the false prophet. And here in a verse, I'm going to flip the whole false prophet on you. He's going to handle the fake Christian. Jesus is going to handle that. And the fake ones are going to get cast right in hellfire. This is an eschatological judgment they will receive. Jesus is the final judge in this area. Furthermore, moving on to verse 20, thus by their fruits you will recognize them. The key takeaway here is that recognition comes from fruit over feeling. Judge their fruit over how they make you feel. What does the teaching produce over more than how it makes us feel? If you want to feel good, go to a feel-good cemetery. Cemetery, listen to me. Go to a feel-good conference. You'll feel great leaving out of there about how great you are and all this other nonsense. But 20, 30 minutes later, you're not going to feel good whatsoever. Verse 21 here, Jesus moves from talking specifically about false prophets and their fruit, and he starts talking about all people. This paragraph is closely tied to the end of the previous paragraph. It's not just the false prophets he's going to be dealing with. It's going to be the false Christians. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Obedience is our expression of our love for our God. We are saved by grace alone, but the fruit of grace is that which we receive is our obedience to follow Jesus. We follow him by obeying what he is calling us to do. We obey him by following him for what he's calling us to do. We not necessarily understand what the calling is. Verse 22, many of us will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Even Judas walked with Jesus before the betrayal. If you would look up Judas before the betrayal's resume, perfect. I know somebody's looking at me crazy. How are you saying Judas is perfect? Judas had the money. He carried the bag. And under normal circumstances, when you put people together, you trust your treasurer. Now, Jesus knew he was going to betray him the whole time. But the one that held the money, the one that holds the bag, the one who's the treasurer, is the one you trust the most. And he straight betrayed Jesus. Verse 23, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. God sees our hearts. So how do you spot a real one from a fake one? I'm not only talking about fake prophets or fake preachers, fake Christians. How do you spot a real one from a fake one? For the false prophet, you check the route. When you're searching for the truth, check the route. Look and see where their power is coming from. Specifically, the Word of God. Does it make the Word of God bigger or better? Do they proclaim the Word of God as truth? Or are they bringing glory to themselves and not God? The second thing, look for fruit. Look for the fruit when you hear the Word of God. When you see it being preached. As a theology student, the more I went through school, the more I start flipping through channels. I hear a preacher, I flip it over and I listen. Because it gave me an opportunity to study wherever I was at, and it still does. When I'm in the car, I here preaching. On the way here, I heard J. Vernon McGee. He was on 3 different radio stations between Hume and here. Can you believe that? Man's been dead since the 80s, and he's still producing fruit through the airways. So you hear that, and without being hypercritical, you hear the sermon, and you listen to what they're saying. That's why when I heard the airplane guy, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Get this guy out of here. And then I found out after doing an internet search that he actually got that jet. That's nuts. Those people gave that man a $1 billion jet. His own personal airplane to fly around in. Nuts. Completely and totally nuts. So you look for the fruit. You listen to the word of God. What does their preaching produce in thought and in application? Does this preaching produce in thought and application? Do my thoughts shift for things higher? Is the Holy Spirit convicting us while the word of God is being preached? Can we apply it into our lives? Is it letting us walk better to the alignment where God wants us to go? Or are we trying to live off some fake motivation where some guy just said, oh, you guys are all great. Get out of here and be great. It doesn't work like that. We're looking for life change, life-giving change. The third thing, let God be the judge. It is our responsibility to discern right and from wrong, good and from bad. And if you call yourself a Christian, you have discernment. 90% of us have discernment because you were discerned enough to know that the Holy Spirit guided you to Jesus Christ so you can go to heaven. And that's discernment. Some of us have it a lot more than others. But what's the difference between discernment and judging? You know, all those preachers that I, the guy who got the jet, yeah, I'm hypercritical of that dude. Because I feel he twisted scripture to get something that he wanted. And I've heard him to try to talk his way out of this every single time he gets asked about it. So maybe I'm judging the man and I shouldn't be. But God's going to deal with him. I don't have to put nothing against him. God's going to handle it. It says in the Bible, you're going to hold to a higher standard by what was given to you. And he was given the word of God to proclaim the message in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he got an airplane. He's going to have to answer for that. So why does it matter? Why does it matter if we spot a real one, a real prophet, a real preacher from a fake one? Well, let me tell you the story. I'm going to try to read this here because this is somebody else's work. My brother from another mother says this story. And the story is from his dad. When his dad was young, a new preacher came to town. And this preacher was different. He wasn't like anything anybody has ever seen before. This new church was highly integrated. It was very charismatic. The worshiping was strong. They were preaching the Bible. Tons of money were being flown in all over the church. People were flying in from all around the world to come to this location where this man lived, where this new church was being established. Impressive. So my brother's father was like, I'm going to go check it out and see what's going on over there. So he goes in the church and he just wants to see what is the root of this guy's power. How is this pastor doing this? What is the source of his power? And he started listening to the sermons. And he heard the man, he heard this preacher, pointing more to himself than to the word of God. Pointing more to himself than Jesus. He started looking for the fruit. What is the fruit of his preaching? And how does it change your life? And this guy, this friend of mine's dad, he said, I'm not going to go to that church. Just something seems off. All the sermons, the longer they get, keep pointing back to the preacher. Never gives praise to God. Never points to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Never points to the Bible. Never mentions the Holy Spirit. The sermons all end on something that he did himself. So that guy's like, just something off with this church. I just can't be a part of it. This church in question is in a city called Jonestown in the country of Guyana. This man was from there. And in 1978, those of you that remember, the lead pastor of that church named Jim Jones led 900 people into a ritual suicide, basically claiming he was God. So why does it matter? You might not drink the physical Kool-Aid, so to speak. Hey, but some of these pastors are leading Christians straight to hell. 100%. Oh, Jesus ain't the only way. Oh, I don't know. I can't answer that if Muhammad could help. Are you crazy? You're a man of the cloth and you got a Bible in front of you and they put a microphone in your face and you're not going to say that Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. Ridiculous. False teaching dissolves trust, and it can lead you away from the presence of God. Whenever the Word of God is preached, all around the world, false teachers have been a problem. And it's going to get worse. Look what they've done to this country. Coming after churches, coming after Christians. Now if you're anti-homosexual, you know, they're putting you on a terror watch list because you're a domestic terrorist now. The President of the United States said on TV that his opposing political party is a domestic terrorist. In the 50 years that I've been on Earth, that's never happened. Yeah, they argue back and forth and they see things differently. But a party's never stood up there with a microphone and get the whole world's attention and say that my opposing party is a terrorist. Let's think about it for a second. What you do with what you believe matters most. It's not so much what you know the Bible, but how can you apply it to your life? People are always watching us. They want to see you apply the Bible. They want to see Christ in you. But we can get so comfortable with just hearing it and just going to church, we don't actually apply it to our lives. And the moment we stop applying the Word of God is the moment we stop believing it. You know, I always noticed when I was in the Army and afterward, you really have two types of leaders besides really bad ones. You got a leader that can tell you how to do your job. You can tell me how to put a nail in the board and do this or that. But then you got a leader that can actually do it. And I think of some of the job sites I've been on. The boss might not know everything. He can tell you how to do it, tell you what to do. But then you're going to have that other leader in that building who knows how to do it. He knows what to do. His actions show you what to do. And that's what we need to be, a people of action. Let people see that we're Christians by our actions, not just by telling them they're in action. I saw this thing on Instagram that said, hey, maybe we should put this little fish on all of our stuff. That way everyone know we're a Christian organization. And somebody said, well, maybe you should leave the fish off and just let them figure it out for themselves if you really are a Christian organization or not. Because if you're not, they're going to know 100%. As believers, knowing the Word of God is important, but knowing how to apply it matters even more. We cannot stop false teaching and false preaching if we haven't read the book itself. If you haven't read it, you'll fall for anything. Oh, it's in the Bible. I can show you in the Bible in Leviticus where it says don't eat pork. It's bad for you. It's in the Bible. It shouldn't be eating pork. But that's straight taking a verse out of context. What you believe matters, but what you do with it matters even more. John chapter 15, verse 9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love, that you may keep my commandments, and ye shall abide in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that you might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the gift of your word. Father, it's a lamp unto our feet. We thank you, God, that when we walk through that narrow gate, you unlock the world for us. Father, we ask that when we leave out of here, and that this week we can get closer to your word, Father, so we can discern when when your word is being held responsibly and when it's not. And I say all this in your son's name. Amen.